So we are in the Abundance Project, as was mentioned earlier, our fifth week in this eight-week series that's part of our fall book study, our annual fall book study. And wherever you pick up in it, I hope that there's just a something for you, regardless of whether you've heard the others or been a part of up until now. So the law of circulation is something we do a lot, right? We talk about a lot. We talk about it every week at our prosperity celebration, and we've had a lot of talks on it over the years. And but Derek Rydell, the author of this book, gives us a new twist. So I look forward to sharing with you a little bit of a new twist today on this topic. And I want to start with just wondering with you, have you ever been in the ocean swimming and swallowed a bunch of salt water? Anybody ever? Yeah. Had that experience? A lot of you are nodding your heads, yes. Can you imagine if you were in an ocean and it was 9 or 10 times saltier? Yeah, that would be pretty intense, huh? And have you ever been swimming in the ocean, or maybe you've been on a boat and you've begun to wonder about all the sea life that's under there? You know, both wondering maybe from a sense of like majesty and amazement, and also maybe a sense of a little bit of fear. But the richness, right, that if you think about all the creatures that populate the earth and the air, and that there's that kind of life and plants going on under the sea, it's pretty incredible to consider. So there is actually a sea in the world that is 9 to 10 times saltier than a typical sea. And that same sea has no life in it. No plants, no animals, nothing. You might know it. It's called the Dead Sea. Aptly named, because there's no life in it. And there's another sea. That sea is fed by the River Jordan. And there's another sea that is fed by the River Jordan called the Sea of Galilee. And that sea is filled with life. All kinds of life, all kinds of fish and sea life and plant life. It's considered a very beautiful body of water. There's one key difference between these two bodies of water, both fed by the River Jordan, but the difference is the Sea of Galilee also gives its water back to the river, and the Dead Sea only goes one direction. It takes, and it doesn't give back. And that is why it's stagnant and often called dead and lifeless. And that really is the key to the law of circulation. As we give, we receive. And likewise, as we receive, we give, right? We're in this flow, this constant flow of giving and receiving. So where do you tend to fall in the law of circulation? Because most of us kind of have a leaning, right? We're a little bit more, tend to give a little more, or we tend to receive a little more. And you probably know yourself well enough to know where you find yourself on that spectrum. And so part of the journey when we look at these teachings is to see how can we come into a little bit better balance and harmony and wholeness with this principle. So if you do tend to receive a lot of help and receive a lot, and you know, different times in our lives, of course, we're going to receive more or give more naturally by whatever circumstances surround us. But there's also kind of a tendency, overall tendency that we have. So I want to encourage you to maybe try to swing a little bit in the other direction so you can experience a little more receiving if you tend to be more of a giver, or a little more giving if you tend to be a receiver. So you can really be in the flow of what this law of circulation is all about. It is balance. It is harmony. It's abundance and prosperity and joy and all of these things that we can experience. So let's get to what Rydell talks about, because he says not just two giving and receiving components, but there's a third to the law of attraction. The law of circulation. And that is you can't give what you don't have. Or put in the positive, you can give what you have, right? You can give what you have. Then he also says you can't keep what you don't give, or in the positive, you can keep what you give. And finally, you can't sustain what you don't receive, or you can sustain what you receive. So we want to keep and sustain and give, and we need to have and give and receive in order to do that. He says you need to have, give, and receive in the area in which you want to generate circulation, abundance, and sustainable growth. So let's break down these three one at a time. The first one about you can't give what you don't have, or you can give what you have. I have to put it in the positive because I read it in the negative so many times and was just like, wait, what? So if you're like me, maybe you prefer the positive. So I'm just giving you both ways so that you can plug in wherever you need. So whatever appears to be missing is what you're not giving, is what he's trying to say in this have idea. Whatever you think is missing is what you're not giving, what you're not giving specifically to yourself. Now, we talk about this one in terms of love, right? People are looking for love in all the wrong or the right places, right? I don't know. Looking for love. We're all looking for love. And a lot of people who aren't in relationship maybe are looking for romantic relationship. Not everybody, but some people are. And we know what that principle is underlying that, right? We always point each other and ourselves back to ourselves. It's about self-love. We start with self-love. And that's a kind of having that allows us then to give and to receive more freely, right? So the having is about giving to ourselves in some way. The surest way is to do the internal work of giving to ourselves, because everything we could ever need is already here. We know this in spiritual truth. It's a different thing than to live it in the world, isn't it, always, to stay on track with that. But if we can remember the simple truth that coming back to the source is coming back to our own hearts, our own beings, and letting ourselves fill up again, and then we have all that we need, and then it's easier to attract or to generate whatever it is that we want to enjoy in life. Relationship, for example. More love, sense of connection, companionship, all the things that might come with that, play, and so on. Intimacy. So, you know, when we think about Jesus and what he exemplified, he was a profound teacher of abundance and inclusivity. You know, he had followers of every walk of life that he welcomed into his circle. And among his circle were people that we might consider poor in terms of not having a lot of means, and rich in terms of having an abundance of means, right? So it seems a little perplexing, knowing the inclusive person he was, that he would say in Matthew, whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. What? That doesn't sound like the fair Jesus I think I know, right? So what is he really talking about? He's not talking about outer stuff. He usually isn't, by the way. Most of the master teachers of spirituality aren't usually talking about what's out there. They're always talking about the experience in here. And so he's talking about consciousness. And when you look at it from that angle, suddenly it makes sense. Oh, if I have a sense of fullness, of haveness, of connection with spirit, I will have more, because I become a magnet for love, a magnet for light, a magnet for good, for money, for whatever it is we long for. But we don't long for it if we have it, you see? And we do have it. That's the thing. We already have it. This is done. Case closed. Because we already have it. And so wherever we're longing, desiring, wishing for, seeing missing, thinking lacking or limited somehow, can't have, don't have, we're in a consciousness of separation. And Jesus is saying, if you're in a consciousness of having, you're gonna have more. If you're in a consciousness of I don't have, everything's gonna be taken away. Because you're gonna keep ruminating on the idea that I don't have, that something's missing, that there's not enough. And then we start, you know, thinking we're praying for that thing that we don't have when we're actually just continuously reinforcing the lack thereof. So it's getting into a little bit more of the feeling space. And how do we do that? But to infill, right? To get into that experience. When we are in a having state, we don't get depleted. Anybody ever feel depleted, exhausted, overwhelmed, any of those things? Stretched in many directions? Yeah, a lot of us do. And so we need to go back to that well to fill ourselves again, to return to our spiritual practices. And one of the ways, one of the analogies for the law of circulation that we use a lot, and I love this analogy, is the breath. Because the breath is something you can use all the time, right? You can use it in a you know, formal meditation practice, but you can use it at any part of your day because you're always breathing, or otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? And so at any point, you can just become conscious of a single breath. And when you become conscious of a single breath, you usually will take it in a little bit fuller and let it out a little bit fuller. And if you do a few of those even, which takes all of, what, a couple of seconds, you suddenly feel, oh, that feels better. Anybody experienced this before? Yeah, the breath is so key. So we often think of the breath as breathe in, breathe out, right? This symbiotic relationship we give to the plant kingdom, they give back to us, which is, I just always marvel at that magnificent design of the universe. But there's also another piece to it. There is a have step in the breath. It's not just giving and receiving. There's a have step in the breath. So I want to invite you to breathe with me for a moment, and I'll tell you what I mean. It's very subtle, but I think you'll be able to catch on. So let's breathe in with our nose, and maybe just take it, like let your belly extend, really fill your belly. Let it be a belly breath. And then notice just before you exhale, there's a little pause. I'm holding my breath at the moment just to demonstrate, but it's not about holding your breath. It's just a little pause, and then we exhale. You can exhale out your mouth. The end of the exhale, there's a little pause before we shift and inhale again. And it's in that pause that is the having. That pause is the divine presence. That pause is a sudden awareness. Oh, there I am. So let's try it now without all the instruction. Without the pause, me talking about the pause. Just breathing in. Little pause, breathing out. Little pause, switch, breathe in. Little pause, switch, breathe out. So when you decide during your day, I think I'll just take a conscious breath. Just notice also the little pause at the top and the bottom of the breath, and that is the having. And maybe you might even start to associate this as a prayer of, I have, I give as I breathe out, I receive as I breathe in. I have, I give, I receive. I'm constantly in the law of circulation, constantly reminding ourselves that we have everything we need. There's another idea that Rydell introduces to us in terms of affirmations. So affirmative prayer is something we use a lot in Unity. And affirmations or statements of release are key parts of affirmative prayer. He says, instead of thinking of them as affirmations, think of them as affirmations, F-R-O-M. And so again, he's showing us to go inward to the source and to ground in that space. And then what we speak as a truth, a present tense truth about our lives, about what it is that we're affirming for our lives, it's coming from us. It's coming from a place of, I've already got it. I already have this. And I'm just affirming the fact that it's already here and calling it up into my conscious awareness, calling it out into my manifested experience. The second one of these aspects, one a little bit that we're a little bit more familiar with, is the give. And that is, you can't keep what you don't give, or you can keep what you give. So all about getting into that giving space. That giving space. So it's easier and more fun to give when we're in this place of having, right? When we're in this place of fullness. Because you know what it's like when you've got a really full cup, right? When you've got a lot of joy, when something really great just happened to you, what do you want to do? You want to share it, right? You want to call up your friends and family and tell them this great thing that just happened to you. And so it's part of that celebratory kind of energy that we want to very naturally, as human beings, share the good. If you've got a bunch of tree, a beautiful fruit tree dropping a bunch of fruit in your backyard, I've seen a lot of people do it here. You want to bring a basket of fruit somewhere and give it out, right? Because we want to share our abundance. It is a very natural impulse in us to want to give. And it is way easier for us to give when we are giving from a basket full of energy, a basket full of goodness, whatever that is. If our basket is empty, that's not a very fun place to give from, right? And so it's that depletion that we need to be aware of and that havingness that is so key. If your cup is full, it's easy to give. If your cup isn't full, we can also fall into the trap of looking around and blaming others for taking too much from us. Anybody ever do that? They get into that sense of, you know, you're asking too much of me, and we get resentful and we get exhausted. But actually, it all starts here, right? If our cup isn't full, it's because we didn't fill it. It's not anybody else's responsibility to fill the cup. It's ours. And so if your cup is empty, then it's time to set outer boundaries and turn to inner practices. That's all we got to do. Set outer boundaries, or probably in the other order, turn to inner practices and set outer boundaries, one or the other or both. And then we get into the having state once again, and we have plenty to give. So give and you will receive. In Luke, you probably remember this scripture. Your gift will be returned to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing right into your lap. The giving is the receiving, but it's giving from that haveness, from that fullness, from that place. So giving to ourselves is a part of this process in filling ourselves up. This idea behind the component of you can't keep what you don't give, or you can keep what you give, is this idea that you get to keep it in a way because it's about sharing. And so you're not losing your love by giving your love. You're not losing anything. You're not missing anything by giving it away. It's a kind of sense of sharing in the abundance. And so there's that fullness of giving. That good feeling that we have when we give out of this kind of space of havingness. So it's whatever we're looking for, we give more of it. And that might seem really odd. It's like, well, I want more respect. And you're telling me I need to go out and give more respect? Yes. I want more kindness. You're saying I need to be more kind? Yes. That's exactly what it is. It seems sort of, when we're in it, when we're in the place of missing, when we're in the place of lack, when we're in the place of, I'm not being respected, or I don't feel loved, you know, and we're telling the people in our lives that, and what Rydell is pointing us to, then that's exactly what you need to give. Give what you want to receive, and then you get to keep it, because it's coming from an overflow. A space that is abundant. So you name it what it is that you want more of. Appreciation, acknowledgement, freedom. You know what you want more of. And start practicing giving it. So I would encourage you, and Derek Riedel encourages, to have a journal of some kind available. Write the intention. Maybe it's something you want from your workplace or your spouse or your family or a friend. Write out what it is that you're wanting more of. And then start giving it directly to yourself and to that person or place in which you want to receive more of it. And start then journaling what happens. I think a lot of us will be really pleasantly surprised at how this actually works. It may not sound like it works on the surface, but give it a go and see what happens. So the last one of the three components that he talks about in this law of circulation is you can sustain what you receive, or you can't sustain what you don't receive. So we can't sustain it if we don't complete the circuit. The law of circulation is designed so that there's a receiving end. There's a receiving component to this, right? There's an opening, an allowing, a receptivity, all these things that allow us to receive all the good from Spirit. If we close off that channel, we can't receive from anywhere, right? If we are comfortable being a giver and not as comfortable being a receiver, we have closed down a door. Anybody find themselves in that place, a little bit more of a, you know, tilting that direction? So I was at a retreat this last week when Reverend Ohana did such a good job, didn't she, last Sunday? Yeah. We are so blessed. And anyway, I was at this conscious movement retreat, and at the end of the time together, we had a closing circle, and this woman and I had this exchange. I mentioned something about her artwork, and then she said all these nice things about me. And I didn't really have any interaction with her. So I was a bit, I mean, I felt like, wow. And then also was kind of perplexed because we didn't really have much interaction. So this all came according to observation, or I'm not sure what. And I felt this knee-jerk reaction to say something nice about her back. So I was, yeah, it was probably obvious that I was kind of searching my mind because I hadn't spent a lot of time with her. And I mean, I did come up with something sincere to say back. But I thought about it afterwards and how awkward it was. And I thought, wow, I was a terrible receiver. And that law of circulation, you know, we think of it as this give and receive, but it's not always in the same interaction. You know, it's just kind of an overall sense that we move through the world in such a way that we are having, giving, and receiving. But in that moment, I had such a compelling need, it seemed, from my head to find something to say back to her that it took me right out of my heart, right out of the space of fully receiving what she had just given me, which was pretty amazing given, you know, our interactions. And I walked away going, wow. Okay, and then I'm writing this talk, right, about giving and receiving. I thought, that wasn't great practice. So I actually reached out to her because I was just so curious about what it was like on her end. And I love, this was her response. She said, "My response is too nuanced for text. Can we set up a time to talk about it?" Now I feel given to again. It's like what you're bringing up is so significant in our relationship, which is obviously just burgeoning. I hardly know her, but she's in this group I'm going to be in for a whole year, so I want to get to know her. But what a gift, right, to be that present. I mean, I want relationships like that, don't you? Where we really hear and receive the gift of receiving the way the person is giving to us, even if it's not necessarily what you wanted to receive, if you can recognize the gift that somebody is giving you and take it in. And then to be able to have conversation or connection about the whole process of giving and receiving. So anyway, I just felt doubly given to and really aware of how I blocked the reception. And maybe you too have that knee-jerk reaction to, I got to give something back. Somebody gave me something, I owe them something. You know, somebody, you know, it's just like this constant given, you know, or maybe you're somebody who somebody gives you a compliment and you deflect it, or, you know, or you do some other way of, you know, they give you a gift and you say, oh, you shouldn't have, and you mean it, you know. So whatever it is for us, and you might find you're on the other end where you say, you know, gosh, I've been like taking a lot and people are kind of distancing themselves from me, you know, because people have other places to give and other things to do. And I keep asking for more and expecting more. So if there's that kind of thing happening for you, maybe it's just, you know, come into the have-ness and then maybe consider what could you give? What could you give? And it could be to someone else, to something else, whatever it may be. So really, when we get to this place of receivership, we're really talking about letting in spirit, right? Or letting spirit out. Getting connected in a new way. And a big part of how we do that is to slow down. The Industrial Revolution did a lot of good things for our society, and it created a lot of havoc for us. And as spiritual beings on a spiritual journey, there is a cadence to our culture that has continued since the Industrial Revolution that is more and faster. Everything is more and faster, right? It's about efficiency, and it's about, you know, what can we do that's even more convenient so we can amass even more, you know, and it's just this more is better mythology of abundance is not a true abundant teaching. Less is actually more, because less is like the moment I just told you about. Less would have been, instead of more words coming out of me, less, more pause, more drinking in would have made everything more fulfilling. And so it is in our everyday lives. It's time, it's stuff, it's the society, the culture will keep telling you that move faster, do more is better, better, better. Amass more, do, you know. But if you can go from the spiritual angle, you'll find, oh no, it's really enriching to slow down. It's really enriching to do less and to be more present in the now, in this moment. That is fulfilling. It feels good, doesn't it, just to pause? I just realize I'm like filling the air with lots of words. I know that's sort of the expectation, but but what if we just slowed down, you know, and had these moments of just, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nice just to be together. In the silence, it's a little awkward because it's not meditation time. So you're like, why is she being so silent, right? If I just did this without explanation, I mean, I should have tried that. That would have been more effective. Mysterious. Yeah, mysterious. But really, isn't it nice just to look around, just to see each other, just to be? And then what happens for me when I do that is I start to really see the beauty. I start to feel the love. I start to see, you know, more that's going on in you, in your faces, in your whole beingness, the energy in the room. I can feel more into that now. I see the beauty outside. I see the waving tree and the leaves and the sunlight. See what happens when we slow down? But if we're going so fast that we have so much to do on our list, we don't notice half of life. Maybe a tenth of life. And so it's hard to really live these abundance principles if we're going that fast. There is enough time. There is enough money. There is enough stuff. You are doing enough. You are enough, just as you are. Perfect, whole, loved beyond measure. But you have to slow down enough to know that, to receive that, and then you have. That's really what this is about. So at my retreat, we also, some people got meditation buddies. They, you know, spoke that they wanted to start meditating again, have a regular practice. And, you know, one woman said, I'm going to meditate 10 minutes a day. It's my new vow to myself. She said it in the circle. And somebody else said, you know, I found it's really helpful if I pair up with somebody else who wants to do that. And we send each other an emoji every day when we meditate. That's it. I mean, there's no expectation of conversation or time otherwise. Just we're just going to hold each other accountable or even share our commitment, not even accountable, by doing this. So how many of you would like to expand your meditation practice or restart it or recommit to it? See, look at all the hands in the room. So maybe find somebody today before you leave and say, hey, can we do this? Could we just exchange information and just send each other an emoji every day when we meditate? Feel like a sense of celebration, a sense of helping you retain your commitment, and getting into that feeling space that we got into just a moment ago that was so much more enriching. I think more enriching than me filling the air with words, so I'm going to stop talking. I will share just the closing that a closing quote from Derek Rydell, because I really like this one. He says, the ramifications for understanding the law of attraction, the law of circulation, are nothing less than true freedom from the external trap of seeing people, places, and things as your source. The law of attraction flips that, and you realize your source is here, and it's overflowing with abundance. And that's all we need to know. So I want to encourage us to get back to the breath as a simple practice, to realize we have, we give, we receive, and abundance is constantly generated, abundant life constantly generated by the simple practice. So I want to encourage you to say this with me, and maybe we'll breathe better and more fully this week. Together, simple as breath, I have, give, and receive abundant life. And so it is.